There you go. Little Rob Zombie on the Evan Bray Show on this Halloween edition of the Evan Bray Show. Great to be here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. It's Evan Bray on a Friday where it's not only Halloween, it's game day. The Jays tonight, just after 6 o'clock. The Blue Zone with Jamie and Locker all over that. And the preview for the game tonight, it's going to be a great one, that's for sure. Well, I'm looking forward to this next conversation because last night I was given the luxury of a sneak peek of a documentary that was done, a short documentary of a great story. I mean, it's got a great ending to it, but it's a bit of a mystery in and of itself. What we're talking about is in September of 1948, a U.S. Navy aircraft disappeared on a flight from Churchill, Manitoba to the Paw, prompting what became the largest search and rescue mission in Canada's history. What does Saskatchewan have to do with this? Well, let's find out with my guests. I'm happy to have two great guests on this, both very involved in this documentary. Again, the documentary is called Lost in the Muskeg, The Plane Canada Forgot. Scott Warniuk, who we've had on our program before, a great storyteller, great videographer, owner of Crosscut Films. Scott joins me in studio. Scott, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan, and happy Halloween.
Yes, same to you. And David Riak, who is an author, a historian, and very much a part of this documentary, joins me by phone. David, great to have you with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me, and hi to Scott there in studio. I had the pleasure of meeting Scott just last weekend when I was in Saskatoon, so
yeah,
good to talk to you all again.
I love this story. So maybe I'll start with you, Scott. You like to tell these stories about abandoned Saskatchewan, and you are a great storyteller. How did this one cross your desk? Why did this pique your interest?
Well, I was working on a different project with Les Oystrick, who was a collaborator of mine. He's a historian up from the Dinard Beach area, and he told me about, well, have you ever heard about Operation Attaché? And I'm like, no. So he sent me the article that David had researched and written, and I said, this has got to be done. So we all got together an email and just kind of took off over the next few months.
I love it. Well, David, can you set the stage? Can you tell us the story? I did a bit of a brief intro there, but what happened in this situation, David?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of the film. I'll tell you a bit that how the story came about. You know, I'm a storyteller like Scott. That's how what I consider myself, even though if, you know, officially I say I'm a aviation researcher and writer. I'm really also a storyteller. So I'm always on the lookout for great stories. And I have a number of them on the go at any given time. So I was working on a particular story and I came across, doing this research, a reference to something called Operation Attaché, this large scale aerial search that took place in Canada in the fall of 1948. And so I said, well, that sounds really cool. I'm going to check the existing literature and see if I can find some more. And there was very little. You can find passing references to it or just sort of sketch articles. So I realized that, well, I think this is a story that needs further work. So my first step was to go into online newspaper archives, where I really understood the depth of the story, because there were tons of articles, press articles, written at the time. So I realized that at the time this was a huge story, but somehow it has kind of just faded into the background. Mm-hmm. So I started working on it, probably worked on it for a period of a couple of years, got it to the point where I had a text, an illustrated text, telling the story in depth, as much depth as I could. And at that point, I was also in contact with Les Oystrick. And he and I shared an interest in northern Saskatchewan, northern Manitoba aviation stories. So I just decided, and this is probably last winter, I guess. Scott might remember better than me. But anyway, I sent it to Les, and I said, Les, I've got this on file. I've had it sitting here for a couple of years, probably. You might be interested in it. And he was, and he checked with his contacts in the north, and nobody knew anything about it. So that was when I realized really had an important story. And it was Les's, as Scott has already said, Les then, asked me if I'd be willing to have Scott take a look at it with the possibility of producing a film version. And that's basically how we got to where we are today. It's a great story about this U.S. Navy airplane that went missing. Five men aboard, two of them are naval attachés, one American, one British, hence the name Operation Attaché assigned to the search. Massive search over almost 2 weeks. At the height of it, there were, you know, in excess of 30 aircraft, Canadian and American, crisscrossing the north looking for this airplane. The search, I do want to make clear, was under RCAF leadership and command, with the search base being the PAW.
Yeah.
And as you say, it had a positive outcome when the five men were finally located after almost 2 weeks in the bush and about 20 kilometers, I think it was, Scott, south of the wreck. And a few weeks ago, Scott and Doug Chisholm, well-known pilot and author in northern Saskatchewan, were able to fly up and actually get some incredible photographs and video of the wreck in location.
So
largely intact.
I was going to say it's
in the film too.
It's incredible to me. David Riak, who you've been just listening to, is an author, a storyteller, a historian, and is part of this project, Lost in the Muskeg, the plane that Canada forgot. Scott, you added a modern day view of this, and it's quite fascinating to me. I know the debut is tonight, but what can you tell me about your flight up there to look for this lost piece of history?
Well, when I first started talking to David and Les, we hadn't located the actual, we knew the general vicinity of where the aircraft went down.
Right.
And also, too, the government records at the time just said it was south of High Rock Lake. There was no exact latitude, longitude. So it took me about a day and a half of scrolling through Google Earth imagery, you know, kilometer by kilometer by kilometer. And that's a pretty big area up there. And finally, I saw it. That's got to be it. I emailed the boys and said, holy cow, guys, I think we found it.
Wow. So it's like a modern day grid search on Google, on Google Earth.
Pretty much. Yeah,
wow.
It was.
Is that right? So tonight is the debut. The film, by the way, thank you. I'm honored and respectfully appreciate the honor you gave me of giving me a sneak peek and sending me. I watched the 14-minute documentary. It is amazing. People are going to love it. I know it. It is released tonight at 7 o'clock. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. I totally gaffed on the Blue Jays and Halloween when I scheduled that, but I guess, well, live and learn here. So, but it'll still be on YouTube for, you know, forever, I guess, as long as YouTube's running. So,
right. Where can people find it, Scott?
Easiest way is just to, I do have it set up as a premiere tonight at 7 o'clock on YouTube. And if you just search for Crosscut Films Saskatchewan, and if it's still, you still can't find it, just look for Abandoned Saskatchewan and you'll be able to track it down pretty easy.
Some great stuff. Some great work you've done, Scott. David, what are you hoping people get from watching this? I mean, I had some emotion as I was watching this film because it's almost the tale of two stories. There's the initial story and then the work that you and the team have done to kind of revive it into modern day history.
Yeah, I think that, well, I think people will find it, they'll be amazed by the story and all its aspects. And again, we don't want to give away too much. I mean, there's a massive aerial search, again, led by the RCAF, but there's also a, let's call it a ground component and the involvement of northern communities as part of the search effort. And the story, Scott and I are on, I think, absolutely the same wavelength. That it's the human interest dimension that really appeals to us about storytelling in general, and it's certainly there in this case. The viewers will learn about the efforts of these five men after they were forced down to survive, you know, in the northern Saskatchewan bush for almost 2 weeks, not knowing if they'd actually ever be rescued. You can imagine, I think the viewer will be able to imagine themselves in that situation, what it must have been like. And the film really brings this dimension forward in a way that, for example, a text document, no matter how well written and illustrated, can't do. That's why film is such a great medium for storytelling in general, but for stories like this in particular. Yeah. And I would emphasize another is, as you've already said, that this had a positive outcome when so many air searches in the north are great stories that ended with either the occupants of the airplane being found deceased or maybe never being found.
Right.
that here you have a positive outcome. These men were rescued, reunited with their families, resumed their careers. So again, that's something I think people can identify with, what it must have felt like for these men to realize that they've been saved, to be brought first to the PAW, then eventually reunited with families. You can imagine, too, from the viewer's perspective, what it must have been like for their families waiting anxiously to hear news.
Yeah, it's an incredible story, fellas. We're out of time, but I want to thank both of you for collaborating. I'd encourage you to collaborate again because the product is incredible. Scott Warniuk, David Riak, thank you for your time. And again, it's Lost in the Muskeg, The Plane Canada Forgot, and it premieres on YouTube tonight at 7. Thanks so much, fellas.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Evan.
Bye.
You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.